Listen, if you're constantly tired of juggling all the business problems yourself and not having a sound individual to bounce your ideas off of, the problems off of, your generated solutions, for less than what you're probably paying one of your part-time coaches, you literally could have a conversation with me daily, weekly, with me, with your staff, and then we get on a call monthly. I've got an app and a platform that I use, what I call the Bat Phone, that allows you to get in contact with me throughout the day. Literally, you can ping me and hit me up and let me know shit's going on. This is the situation. I need some assistance in making the right decision, and I'm there for you. This is what I do for gym owners. I do it for up to about 40 gyms at a given time, and I'm always graduating or getting fired, like graduating the gym owner or getting fired myself. I've talked about this in pre-roll before. I like getting fired. I want to get fired. I don't want you to be stuck on the WTF tit. I want my gym owners to be self-sufficient, but there are times when you could use some assistance. That's why I don't do any contracts. Everything is month to month. You use me for as long as you need to use me, and then you fire me. And you can always hit me back up if another problem arises. But if you're in a position where you're like, fuck, man, I've got some money. I let you know for what I'm paying a part-time coach. Sure, I'd love to have someone who knows this better than I do and can help me just make the smarter decisions faster. You can sit there and research it yourself in YouTube and watch all the videos and make, 6 months of bad decisions, or we could have had a 10-minute conversation and you made the right one and moved on with the rest of your day, the rest of your business this year, and got the shit done you want to get done. If this interests you at all, please shoot me a DM over on WTF Gym Talk on Instagram, and I would love to chat with you. I'd love to just know what you got going on, see if we're a good fit. We can talk a little bit there. Guys, that's it. This is what I do. It's what I love doing. I love solving problems for gym owners. I like different problems. And I love getting fired. I want to get fired so that you go on and do your fucking thing. And I'm glad I was able to be a part of it for that period of time. So if this resonates with you at all, please go ahead, shoot me a DM. Let's chat. Otherwise, enjoy the podcast. What is up, guys? It is Stu, and it is another episode of the What the Fuck Gym Talk podcast. Stop shaming gyms that have not awesome retention rates. Stop, whenever someone wants to blast a gym or make like a broad generalization of a gym business that doesn't have it together, the retention sucks. You have no idea what you're talking about. Like, this whole retention thing, I swear to God, has been built up beyond its common duh. Like the duh level of understanding of retention, which is, yes, you should be working to retain your members for as long as possible. You should be providing the best client experience possible. Yes, it costs significantly more to get a new customer than it does to retain a current one. That's like duh. You do not need to write a book on business. You don't need to understand it in its deepest form to, everyone to nod their head, like, yeah, that all makes sense. So I believe this whole retention thing has been built up on that basic elementary fucking, my 6-year-old could understand. She's not six, I think she's five. My 5-year-old could understand it. And we want to then use this as the thing I'm going to teach gym owners how to do, and the advanced schools of thought on retention. And I'm going to also tell gyms that have, an average of 12 months LOM, length of membership, I'm going to tell them that they have shitty retention. I don't buy into any of this shit. I think this retention thing is something that people have hyped up to, I don't think it's because they want to shame gym owners or certain business owners. I think they're hyping it up to be like, this is a problem I can fix. And I don't believe it is. I believe you are picking on the wrong KPI, and I don't believe you truly understand how this works. Here's a case in point. There are very successful franchises, singular owned mom and pop locations, very successful. And by success, I'm just going to go off they make money, they're profitable, employees get paid well, owners are happy. That's what I'm going by with success. That have a length of membership, an LOM, of 12 months and under. Yet they still have a successful business. Yeah, but they'd have an even more successful business if they didn't have that retention problem, Stu. You're right, and I believe the owner is probably well aware that if he were to keep people longer,
that he or she, you know, the owner of the business, would make more money, and his marketing department probably wouldn't have as many issues. But do you believe that's an issue that of the business, like the business is falling short somewhere, and the uneducated, stupid motherfucker will say, yeah, they're just, you know, they must not have enough socials. They're not sending any of those handwritten cards out to the members. Yeah, they're not doing some of that shit. And that's, if they were, the whole problem would be fixed. They like called their members' grandmothers on their birthdays and told them how much they love them. Then they wouldn't have this retention issue. What? No, you do realize, and again, I'm privileged because I get to travel the country and I get to talk with gym owners every single day, and I get to see things, and I know a lot of you guys that are making these statements online and judging your other colleagues in micro gym business in the fitness industry, you know you don't have the same privilege and you don't have the same scope, and I understand, which is why I am here to save you from your own self-induced ignorance. There are markets in this country, people, many of them, in which the nature of a customer is not to stay put. It is nomadic by nature. Tier one markets are very common here. I was just in DC speaking to over 40 trainers, you know, staff, GMs of the metabolic locations up in DC. They have a market of 5 different locations up there. So I'm speaking to these 40 some employees, and we are talking business. And one of the individuals talking with, I think recently maybe moved to the DC market, and we were talking about how different it is from where they moved from, and I cannot remember where, but to DC. And this individual's been in the fitness industry. They're like, it's crazy, like, you know, how quickly people cancel their gym membership in DC when their apartment complex lease is up and they relocate to another apartment complex, which is only 3 miles away. But in DC traffic, where a lot of people walk, bike, and take public transit, that's a 32, 35, maybe even 40 minute commute. And that's not happening. So by just literally the nature of, oh, my lease is up and my renewal rate is really expensive at this apartment, I'm going to go to the other side of town, which is kind of by that park I like to take my dog to. And there's an apartment over there that is giving the first 2 months half off rent. So I'm going to go relocate there. I'm canceling my gym membership. Doesn't matter. That's why you notice that chains like in the big cities have so many locations. Yes, it's a density equation. There's enough people to support these locations, but it's also, they know that they can self keep feeding themselves, because the individual who moves from a metabolic on the southern side in Arlington, Washington, D.C., and they move up, let's say they're downtown, right, in District of Columbia, D.C., downtown apartment dwelling, and then they relocate to Arlington, which is a little bit more burby. It's not even all the way into the burbs, but it's, you know, not like Alexandria. They have a location there too. But Arlington's like halfway. Well, if they relocate to Arlington, they're not going to the same metabolic studio they went prior. They're going to go to the one in Arlington. And, you know, Corbin Jennings, the franchisee who owns all those locations, is smart enough to have locations in these strategic spots for that strategic reason. But for those of you guys, you would listen, they'd be like, oh no, he sucks at retention. He can't keep him for 12 months. He sucks. It's not a good business. How are you supposed to run a business like that if you can't keep people for 12 months? Because that's how it is. That's how it works. I can do this with fucking 15 other cities in the United States. I can even go to tier two markets. That's Charlotte, Cleveland, Ohio, fucking Nashville, Tennessee, Austin, Texas. And I can do this again, and I can show you that people have a higher, more frequent rate of cancellation due to the transient nature of the city. These metropolitan areas, guys, are very expensive to live in. In the metropolitan area, those are mainly leases. The majority of your customers are leasing their home, their apartment, their townhome, their whatever. If they can afford to live there, they're doing quite well. Now, once you get out to the burbs, now we have mortgages, okay? When you get out in the burbs and you have mortgages, you're probably not going anywhere for a certain period of time. You are less transient. You've got a kid who's just started first grade in an 8-year grade school. You're probably not going anywhere unless there's a significant change in mom and dad's, you know, occupation location. But no, like, we want to sit there, like, I'm tired of these fucking reports. Emily Beers, she writes for the Morning Chalk Up. She's cool, good writer, always hits me up to get my opinion on certain things. And Emily, Stu, did you see one of these most recent state of the industry reports? It showed that the average length of membership was like 8 months or something. I was like, so? She's like, do you think that's horrible? I'm like, well, I mean, ideally, yeah, we want to be keeping people for probably at least 12 at a minimum. But no, I mean, depending on which cities you pull from, like that information, when someone's like, man, I heard this gym can only keep people for 11 months. Like, oh, that means nothing to me. That's like, yeah, I heard they're wearing a winter coat. I'm like, where are they, in Boston in January, or are they in like Boca Raton? Because if they're in Boca, then yeah, that doesn't sound right. Yeah, I heard the gym can only pee people for 11 months. Like, is it LA? is it Chicago? Because I understand that. Because again, this is what I hope you guys get from What the Fuck Gym Talk. I hope, even if we'll never work together in a formal relationship where you pay me for any of this information, I hope that, like, at least by consuming this, you guys are becoming more intelligent owners. So when you have conversations like this, you don't sound like the fucking douchebags I have to listen to at times, right? I'm not calling Emily a douchebag at all, but the gym owners that attack other gym owners or make like they're some industry expert. Yeah. Well, if you can't retain people past this, it means your dog. I don't believe that. I'm going to go, let me go to the opposite side of this. Sean Pastuch, good friend, great colleague, good businessman. His model, his active life is his brick and mortar. I guarantee you his retention will be 2 to 3x that of his constituents, his colleagues in New York City. Sean's in Long Beach, New York, which is not in the city. It's definitely like a place where people go and they live. Like, Sean has never left. His dad is still there. Sean's the mayor of that town. It's not a transient spot. You have people moving there, but you don't have people that are like cyclical. Like, I was in Long Beach for 16 months and I moved back home. Like, no, you know, it's not a burb by any means, but I mean, it's as much of a burb, suburb, as you could, if you're going to define a suburb like I do, is like, it is a, it's a non-urban dwelling in which people are generally establishing mortgages, homes, setting up roots, and going into that next phase of their life. That's how I view Long Beach. Because of that, Sean's in a market in which he has the opportunity to have great retention. If you take Active Life or any of your gyms that are in more, that have like these client mob, like client centric models, where it's not group fitness, it's very prescriptive, it's customized, it's personal training, it's individual design, it's whatever, and you put them in fucking DC, I promise you they don't do as well. You put them in fucking Miami, downtown Miami, they don't do as well. And when I say don't do as well, I'm only talking on this fucking retention KPI that everyone wants to, like, you know, judge other businesses on. I think they do great. I think they still make good money, but I think they just adjust their business metrics because the average client now is only going to stay 13 months. People don't get it. And, like, I never understood that. The second I showed up in Charlotte and I put down fucking roots and I opened up ESC Fitness, my first brick and mortar, you know the first goddamn question I asked you? When you were signing up, awesome, great. Which apartment complex are you at? Because I probably want to set up a B2B with them if I don't already have it. And great, when did you sign your lease? Because I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. And even back in 2010, 11, it was a low tier two city. It's a high tier two city now, but it was still very transient. Many people moving here and they're renting because I was in the city. And I knew that. I knew if I could pin down, oh, cool, you just signed your lease, I knew I had them for at least 12 months because it aligned with their lease. If I lose them before that, then that's on me. That's something I'm not doing efficiently. But I could time it up. If someone tells me, yeah, I got 6 months left on my lease, okay, I know their LOM is probably right around 6 months. If they renew, great. Typically here in Charlotte, I think the number from the last conversation I had with the leasing, you know, the people I talked to in the resident communities, 2 cycles, 24 months. after 24 months, they're generally moving on because they've already had their price raised on them once. The second time through, it hurts even more. And there's a brand new apartment that's offering, you know, a month free on another side of town that's just as interesting. So please, guys, like, just sound. How do I want to say this? I'm working on trying not to sound like such a dick sometimes when I say stuff like this. Please just try to come off like a more cosmopolitan business owner. Like, you've consumed some of my content and you now realize that, yeah, I guess I can't just paint every gym with a 7-month LOM as shitty. Now, are there gyms with a 7-month LOM length of membership that are shitty? Absolutely. There are gyms with a 36-month LOM that I could argue are shitty for other KPIs, right? The amount of retention you have, guys, is not always based on how shitty the gym is. You guys have all been to a CrossFit gym that by no stretch of the imagination is special at all. In fact, you walk in and you might ask yourself, how the fuck do these dudes and girls, like, how do they stay in business? How do these members, like, why do these members pay to go here? And then you're like, oh, I'm in New Concord, Ohio. And there's the next CrossFit gym is fucking 15, 20 miles, 30 miles away. Or I'm in the suburbs. And, you know, this membership has 112 members. And they're all friends that live in this suburb of Chicago. Right? Yeah, there's some other gyms here. There's an Orange Theory or whatever. But this is like a little, like, country club. They've created a clubhouse. And the retention is high. But membership and new client acquisition is low. Like, I can look at numbers and make judgments on multiple things. Do not be the business owner who wants to sound savvy about business and judge another business based on a singular KPI like retention. If I ever hear anyone do that in public, or like when I'm at a seminar and gym owners are talking, I am quick to rip your dick out of your throat and stop you right where you're like, whoa, before you insult that gym that you're talking about behind their back without them even being here right now, and you're claiming that they suck because of this one KPI, let me school you for 30 seconds, because you're not looking at the full picture and it makes you sound ignorant as fuck. And I don't want that. I want us all to be very savvy in business. I want us to understand the industry better. I've told you guys over and over again, I think the reason I did so well is because I constantly was looking at the broader industry, not just my own. And that allowed me and gave me perspective and understanding. It allowed me to make decisions that if I would have stayed in the four walls of my castle, my gym, and never really looked beyond that for more education in the business side, I never would have been able to make. So, guys, that's what I got for you. Until I talk to you in the next podcast, have a great fucking day.